Welcome to the King Christian
and Queen Linda podcast,
where our mission is to bring you the latest and greatest information on health, wellness,
and everything in between to help you become a stronger and more confident version of yourself.
All right, on today's podcast, we are talking how to prevent cognitive decline. Now, there are many people over 40 who report brain fog, right? And it's a common issue for men and women to experience at middle age. It affects your ability to think clearly and concentrate. There might be a feeling of lethargy or just a lack of that sharpness, right? Sometimes you forget things, you're at work and you're not as effective as you once were. And what often causes this is a change in hormone levels, right? So as we get older,
menopause,
and for us men, manopause. And that's a decline in the dominant hormones in your body. For men, it's testosterone. For women, it is estrogen. And these hormones contribute to attention, mood, memory, and other brain processes.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to miss my cue there. I was looking at my notes. But yes, so, you know, glutamine is one of those great supplements I like to use with my clients. So if you're working with me and you're my client, you usually will have glutamine on your plan. And simply what glutamine is, it's an amino acid. It's the most abundant amino acid in your body. And in times of stress, maybe work stress, life stress, a hard workout kind of stress, sickness, illness, will deplete our stores of glutamine quickly. So it is important to take it in from outside sources. Glutamine is, there's so many benefits to it. And I got introduced to glutamine way back when in 2010 when I started competing as a bodybuilder. A lot of bodybuilders use glutamine when they're prepping because it helps their immune system stay strong. Because when you're cutting down and dieting, obviously you're weaker, you're not eating the way you normally would. So you're more susceptible to getting sick, especially if you diet down in the winter months too. So that's how I initially learned about glutamine. I did it for my immune system, which it is very key for. But once I became a nutritionist and started learning about different things, I realized that it's also important for recovery and stress and gut health too. But your immune system obviously is located in your gut. So they do go hand in hand. Now, it's really important for intestinal health, and I'm going to talk about it from that perspective here regarding cognitive decline and brain fog, because a lot of women that I talk to that are perimenopause or in menopause or even beyond menopause, they'll say, how many of you have run up the stairs to get something? You get to the top of the stairs, you're like, shit, forgot what I needed up here. And it's happened to me a few times. Or sometimes you just have that feeling of I just wish, you can't think of things that maybe you're in the grocery store, you forgot your list, or just whatever. Those little moments when you forget stuff. And it's natural. That doesn't mean you have Alzheimer's or dementia. But, it could be a sign that you need to pay attention to that. So it's glutamine is great because it helps your intestinal integrity. Your intestinal integrity, meaning that when you eat foods, it helps your gut flora digest better. And it keeps foods from slipping through what they call tight junctions, or if you've heard the term leaky gut, where foods in your intestinal tract can seep out into your bloodstream, and those toxins get into your body, and that's not good. Those toxins can cross the blood-brain barrier, which can be responsible for, like Christian said, Alzheimer's and dementia and even Parkinson's, the inflammation of the brain diseases that happen. And it's interesting because we all know someone that has dementia. I can't tell you how many of my clients I talk to have either an elderly parent or a grandparent that have dementia or Alzheimer's. And it's a very hard thing to watch someone go through that. And anything I feel that we can do now to help to prevent that definitely is something that you would want to do. So glutamine simply, I like to use the powder form. I believe you can buy it in capsule form if you want to. I like to add a teaspoon I'll add it sometimes to my branched chain amino acids and I drink it while I'm working out. Other times, it's really easy to just put a teaspoon right into your shake. If you're making a protein shake in the afternoon, it's a white powder, it's flavorless, and you don't even know it's there. But you can also take capsules if you just, or tablets if you decide you'd rather take it that way. But 5 grams, 1 teaspoon seems to be a pretty good dose. You could do it once or twice a day. Maybe in the winter months, the cold and flu season months, you could do a teaspoon in a shake and maybe a teaspoon somewhere else. Or if you buy capsules, you can take some. But it's really, it's one of those great supplements that you can use to just help maintain your health, your gut integrity. And I highly recommend it to all my clients, regardless of age. It's just one of those great things that you can use to keep yourself healthy. And again, you know, keep your gut healthy and functioning. And it's great for digestive diseases too, like IBS and Crohn's and other things that people suffer from these days. So that is glutamine. And you may go to the store and see L-glutamine or just glutamine. It's the same thing. Some put the L on it. It's the one that's found in nature. That's the one that we get from foods. Animal products mostly have high glutamine. If you're eating meat, you'll get definitely get a source of glutamine from those products.
Yes, and to mention one of the points that you brought up is leaky gut, right? So mm-hmm. by eating things that aren't necessarily conducive to a healthy diet, combined with high stress, also bad sleeping patterns potentially, right? Yep. Could be one of these things or all of them. Your body can develop fissures inside your gut. And those fissures, as your fecal matter is passing through, some of the bacteria from that and just the food particles themselves right. can end up in those fissures. And then that toxic material, like Linda said, goes through your bloodstream and can cross the brain, the blood-brain barrier and wreak havoc. So again, it's so important what you eat. You know, a lot of us take foods for granted because, you know, if some, just because something is on the shelf and offered as a food product or a food-like product doesn't mean it's good. For example, if you go and eat something like, you know, whatever processed food, I mean, from whether it's Cheetos or just...
Fast food. All those things.
Frozen mm-hmm. foods like...
Hot Pockets. I mean... That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, some of these things... You really have mm-hmm. to consider what they're doing to your long-term health. Yes, I know they taste good and some of them are very cheap, so they're easy mm-hmm. to buy and feed kids. That's a whole nother situation. Right. You shouldn't be feeding the kids in their developmental stages these inflammatory foods because you can set them up for long-term problems. But if you eat something and it doesn't sit well with you, meaning it causes intestinal distress, some sort of gas bloating... Mm-hmm. That is your body telling you, stop, don't give this to me. Some people are sensitive, like myself, to FODMAPs and some of those, the sugars, for example, like in garlic and onion for me, which sucked growing up in an Italian kitchen, but it is what it is. Every time I eat it, I get inflammation and I get gas. So I don't eat it anymore because I don't want to be creating inflammation chronically for years and years and years and years. Right. And then down the road, I go to the doctor and realize, oh no, I've got leaky gut or I have IBS or colitis or whatever that might be.
Right. And also if you tend to be lactose intolerant, which most people are, that can also be a sign. If you're eating, dairy and dairy products, if you eat a lot of cheeses, you're drinking a lot of milk and other ice cream, things like that, and you find that you're gassy and bloated and you just don't feel right afterwards, that's a sign also that you don't want to just keep repeating this bad behavior all the time and you're constantly having that reaction to food. So you want to keep your gut as healthy as possible. Alcohol is another one that can just really hurt your gut flora, your good gut bacteria. If you're taking antibiotics, obviously antibiotics kill all the bacteria, even the good, so that definitely affects your gut also. And if you're someone that has to take antibiotics for sinus infection, ear infection, little kids that get infections a lot, that's something that you really want to be aware of because now you're really affecting your gut integrity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So first and foremost, listen to your gut. Secondly, always opt for the more, we'll call it natural version of something, right? Even when it comes to, something like potato chips. Now, there's inflammatory oils out there. Not to get too far off on a rant, but different types of oils, like sunflower oil, safflower oil, soy oil, a lot of these are very inflammatory. So opt for a type of chips with olive oil or coconut oil, avocado oil, things like that. So, these are little things where there is power in knowledge. Flip the container over, look at the label. If you're not sure, you can reach out to kcql21@yahoo.com or gmail.com, excuse me, and we will tell you, you know, if one option is better than the other. But start by reading, right? Now, when it comes to gut health, what are some things that you can do to improve the integrity of your gut? Prebiotics. Now, prebiotics are carbs, right? And these are forms of fiber. And they're in food, right? And what they do is they induce the growth of and the activity of beneficial microorganisms such as bacteria and fungi, right? In your body, in your gut. This allows your gut bacteria to produce nutrients for your colon cells, and that helps to lead to a healthy gut. So the bacteria in our gut need to feed off certain things, right? It's just like our body, like we need vitamins, right? And we get them from vegetables, we get them, or maybe supplementation, a combination. And if we don't have enough of those, we can end up with nutrient deficiencies and certain sort of diseases, or we can be more susceptible to becoming sick, whatever that might be. The same thing with our gut bacteria. This is why if someone has a very narrow diet, by narrow, I mean limited variety. There are some people who just, you know, they make a habit of eating the same things every day. Maybe breakfast is just coffee and lunch is maybe just a plain salad and chicken. And then dinner is just some takeout food and they eat the same, or pizza or whatever it might be. And the same things over and over. And it's very void of different colored vegetables and different types of meat and types of fats and so forth. Though that variety provides the necessary nutrients we need. So our bacteria also need their own healthy diet. So these fibers are rich in inulin, right? So what are some types of prebiotics that are good for us to consume? Chicory root, right? Something like chicory root has roughly 68% of chicory root has fiber that comes from inulin, right? Again, our gut bacteria eats that inulin and it makes them stronger. Dandelion greens, another great source of inulin fiber. Then we've got Jerusalem artichoke, also known as sunchoke, also inulin rich. Now, garlic. Interestingly enough, garlic promotes the growth of bifidobacteria and helps prevent the growth of disease-promoting bacteria. You guys might have heard, you know, in some types of medicine, or maybe just, you know, your parents told you that or whoever it is. It's popular in the Italian culture. But garlic is a great way to help fight bacteria, right? So it's a great thing to consume. And we've got onions, which are interestingly, well, at least to me, rich in inulin and also rich in, I can never pronounce this correctly, quercetin?
Oh, yeah. Quercetin, yeah.
Is it quercetin?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And whether raw or cooked, right? Then there's also leeks, oats, apples, cocoa, seaweed. So notice how these are vegetable-based. You need these vegetables in order to help proliferate the bacteria and feed that good bacteria in your gut. So consider, easy thing to do is just look over what you eat on a daily basis. And, a good place to be, some people will ask, well, how much should I eat?
Right.
I mean, I always recommend a cup of, which is not much, a cup of vegetables with every meal, including breakfast. And maybe that means you take some fruit. Yeah, oh, exactly. You can put vegetables in your omelet. Again, variety is the spice of life. Yeah. And it's also the health of your gut. Mm-hmm. Or you can take some fruit and put some vegetables in there, blend it up in a smoothie. And you can drink it. Some people say, I don't like the taste of vegetables. Well, you know.
A lot of people throw spinach or kale in a shake.
Simple.
So.
And you don't really taste any of it over the fruit.
I think spinach is pretty mild, so.
Extremely mild. And remember, the darker the vegetables, typically the more nutrients they contain. So something like iceberg lettuce doesn't even really count. It's not really doing much for you. It doesn't even taste that good. But if you eat iceberg lettuce, you know, once a day and you're like, oh, I'm getting my veggies. Okay, technically you are eating some vegetables, but it's not that great, right? There's not much by way of nutrients in it. Go for something dark like a romaine lettuce, mm-hmm. like kale, like broccoli, right? Asparagus, you know, these things that have a lot more green color to them and variety. Go for some zucchini, go for some mushrooms, go, you know, so eat from the rainbow. Now, the next part is probiotics, right? So now these are the friendly bacteria in our body, which provide health benefits when eaten. And they help to colonize our gut with good microorganisms. So there's a big, imagine an ant colony, right? And they're all bacteria that are working together to do a job, which is help us digest food, produce vitamins, and make sure that our environment in our gut stays healthy and working correctly, and that you get all of the nutrients from your food. It's a whole process where they all work together. And if one link in the chain is weak, the rest often suffer. So what are some good examples of probiotics? Yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, tempeh, kimchi. Now, these are all fermented foods, right? And that fermentation, the process of fermentation, produces that good bacteria. Now, what I will say is this. You still got to keep in mind if these foods are causing you digestive distress. Some people who are lactose intolerant, yogurt may not work for you.
Exactly.
There's also different types of yogurt. So this may be a trial and error. The same thing with sauerkraut.
Could
some people...
gas and bloating.
Exactly. Now, I used to eat sauerkraut a lot when I was a kid. Then, well, and now it was probably like 10 years ago.
Pickled cabbage, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, so. And it depends on, you know, for some people, it's great. Mm-hmm. For some people, I've eaten types of it, and it bloated me.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be smart. Like, we're not saying, hey, no matter what happens, you got to eat these foods.
Right.
Pick the ones that work for you.
Right.
Right? And some of the bacteria that we're talking about, lactobacillus, bifidobacteria, streptococcus, interestingly enough, enterococcus, and bacillus. And there's also supplements that have broad spectrum probiotics in them and multibiotics, which are good for you. So, and, you know, lastly, most of our gut flora is in our large intestine, right? That's why when people have intestinal problems, it's usually colitis. Mm-hmm. Colo, meaning colon, itis, inflammation of the colon. And that's why when you get something like a colonoscopy, it's a colonoscopy. So they're looking at that bottom part, which is the important part with all the bacteria that helps us absorb these nutrients. And our gut flora is extremely important. And remember, if you're living an inflammatory lifestyle, not much sleep, not much exercise, not much water.
Not much fiber.
Not much fiber, exactly. And that's exactly it. You are not doing your gut flora any justice, because that gut flora also helps us manufacture vitamins like vitamin K and B vitamins. And to bring that to a close, when you talk about energy, right, after 40, people always talk about, man, I don't have the energy I did when I was a kid. And if you know, the things that we mentioned before that you need to look at, what you're eating, if you're moving on a daily basis, these gut bacteria help to extract the nutrients from your food and also help produce energy in your body, which is linked with vitamin B. If you're not eating a balanced diet, and your gut flora and gut bacteria are out of balance, you may not be producing the amount of energy you could. So make sure you keep track.
All right. So another one that can help with brain fog and some other brain inflammatory diseases is citicoline. Now, citicoline, it's something that I learned today because I didn't really know that much about it prior to this. So citicoline is a brain chemical that occurs naturally in our body, and you can take it by mouth orally like a supplement, or some people are given an injection for it. So in the past, some studies showed that in Japan and Europe, they were given citicoline as a prescription to help improve memory, thinking, and brain function in people that were healing from a stroke. So it helps people get better when they stroke. It was also used as it's also been used as a dietary supplement in the US. So it basically, citicoline increases another brain chemical called phosphatidylcholine. And this chemical is important for your brain function. So citicoline might also help increase other types of brain chemicals, but it helps with the messages that are sent to the brain. Now, it's also been used in Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia. And again, you can supplement with it. They talk about a safe dose is 1 to 2,000 milligrams a day. And if you go to a vitamin store or you look around, you'll see that you know, you'll see different supplements in the store. So just look for a reputable brand. If you happen to go to a vitamin shop or somewhere, you know, ask the person that works there. But you want to get, you know, a good brand so that you can use it and take it, again, you take it orally. Now, a way to get more citicoline in your diet is through egg yolks, which have choline in them. So citicoline increases your phosphatidylcholine, which, again, as I said, is another brain chemical. So egg yolks are a great way to get that. It's just, it's a very interesting supplement. So it helps with memory loss in 50 to 85 year olds. So, I mean, this could just be something that you may want to add to your supplement regime as far as helping you if you're in that 50 to 85 year old bracket, if you're in menopause, ladies, perimenopause. My opinion is if you want to just do everything that you possibly can, in addition to a good lifestyle, like Christian just said, eating right, fiber, exercise, sleep, water, all those things. I mean, you can't live a certain way and think you're going to take supplements and it's going to make the difference. It's not. You've got to have all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed and make sure that you're doing all the right things, and then add some supplements to it, which can help sort of, you know, fill in the holes a little bit. So this might be a great one you want to add. You can certainly look it up and get more information on it. But, you know, it's been shown, they've done studies for on Alzheimer's, bipolar disorder, depression. There's a lot of different benefits that they have some studies on it for. So another way that you can get it in your diet is through beef or chicken liver. I'm not sure how many people eat beef and chicken liver, but I know it's not a staple in my diet. But
oh, actually, wait, I'm sorry to completely interrupt. Mm-hmm. Okay, so some of these foods like beef and chicken liver, right? Liver is not necessarily the best tasting food, but it depends on what animal it comes from. A good way to get it in your diet is to make meatballs, right? A lot of people don't realize this, is you can take
you
that.
Can flavor it.
Yeah, and you can grind it up, correct, and mix it in with regular beef or pork or whatever it might be, and you can get the nutritional benefits from this food without just having to eat the straight product by itself.
And also, too, you want to make sure it's an organic. Aren't there sort of specifications on when you get liver? Like, in making sure it's a good quality, like you, because if it's a more commercially farm raised, yeah, exactly, you're gonna get all the toxins go through the liver, so you just want to make sure you're eating an organic, grass fed animal type liver. So that's just something important to note. I mean, you always want to know like where your food comes from, and you know if the animals are eating what they should be eating, like cows eat grass, not you know grain and corn and all the other stuff that they feed it on some of the commercial farms. But citicoline is, you know, it's got some good evidence behind it. So if you're concerned about, if you have a history of Alzheimer's or dementia in your family and you know you're doing all the right things in your life, I mean, you can definitely change your genetics. It's not like, oh, this is going to be my lot in life. You know, my grandmother had it, my mom had it. It doesn't have to be you. You can take the steps and use certain things and do certain things to keep your brain functioning healthy. And you know, one thing here too that's not a supplement is that you want to exercise your brain in a way of learning something new, reading things that make you think, doing a crossword puzzle, doing something that is going to use your brain cells so that your brain cells are growing and you're not, you know, just letting them sort of waste away by not engaging yourself in things that are going to challenge you. So don't be afraid to learn something new. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can always learn, read, take up a new hobby, something that's going to make you think, because that's going to help keep your brain strong as you age also.
Exactly. And to add to that, so that is such an underrated thing, mm-hmm. right? I think that a lot of people nowadays, they tend to think that things have to be more complicated than they are, right? Now sexy sells, whether it's this weird angle of doing a glute kickback or bridge or this odd angle of a chest press. Oh, this must be more effective because it's new and different. But what's funny is the athletes that tend to be most successful stick to the basics.
Right.
Right? The ones who tend to struggle to be more athletic or grow more muscle, whatever it is, tend to do all the nuanced things that don't necessarily produce as good of results. The same thing goes with foods and mm-hmm. and things that you do to make your body just better functioning. Even, okay, something that I started doing years ago, because I don't remember where I heard it. It might have been at a podcast or a YouTube video. This is a long time ago. And they were like, you know, you can improve your neurological connections in your brain, the synaptic connections in your brain, and make more connections by doing things with your non-dominant hand. So I started brushing my teeth with my left side. I started drinking water.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, in the beginning, but then mm-hmm. it becomes normal. Even washing dishes. I used to hold the plate with a certain hand and wash it with the other, and then I switched. And now it's just the way I do it, right? The same thing with kicking a ball or throwing a ball. You try to throw a baseball with your non-dominant side, you're like, this is terrible.
Or even lifting and doing unilateral exercises. Yes. I always start with my weaker side first. Mm-hmm. Because I automatically want to start with my left side because mm-hmm. I'm lefty. But I always make myself start on the right first. So, and it just makes you, initially it felt weird when I started doing lunges that way, but now I'm used to it. Now I put my right foot forward and I start on that side. So,
yeah,
same thing.
Exactly. And yeah, just as simple and dumb as that might seem, I've heard people say, oh, there's no way that's going to prevent, brain degeneration. Tried it before?
Can't hurt.
Yeah. Is there research on it? Yes. Do it. It's always like, oh, what's the pill? What's the supplement? Yes, we're telling you some things that you can consume, but don't discount how valuable these things are. Okay, so there's phases in life, right? Mm-hmm. We're born, we need our parents to take care of us. They have to give us our stimulation, right? That's why with little babies, parents are like, oh my God, oh, no, but they make the faces and all the noises so the baby laughs and knows that it's important and it's getting this feedback and learning. And then the baby rolls over. Oh my God, this is the right. And then the baby starts to try to get upright and push itself off the ground. And it starts to grab things and put it in its mouth. And that's actually creating a good microbiome in the gut. So parents, don't stop your kids from doing that unless it's a piece of poop or something. But these are all things that help our brain grow, right? And if you have a baby and don't give it stimulation, the baby will die after a while. There were some pretty gruesome studies that have been done in the past where they had kids, and some of the kids were, and I don't remember who, what organization did this study, and I don't think it was in this country, but
probably not.
I don't think so. And it was a long time ago, but they had babies, and the one group of babies were given normal love and feeding and care from parents. The others were just fed and not given any physical stimulation, not a smile, nothing. And those babies died, which is kind of crappy. But it is so important that we get different and frequent external stimulation. So
right.
When we're in school, what's the point of school? To teach us. So we obtain information, we retain information. That's the goal. And then we can thus do more, right? We can think bigger. We can be more productive and more useful. The problem often happens is, especially after retirement, while we're at work, we have to use our brain to solve problems. Yeah, sure, maybe you just do one thing as a career for your whole life, and your problem solving is not that broad, but you still have to be useful and solve problems. When people retire, oh, I just want to retire and sit on the beach. And a lot of times people get stir crazy because their brain has been so used to problem solving, and now you're just being lazy.
And that's when a lot of people age faster when they yes. retire, because now they're not yes. they're not stimulated, they're not doing anything, they're bored, they're not everyone, but
a lot.
But my dad retired young, and but he had a lot of interests.
Yeah, but so, he reads more than most people I know.
He's definitely an exception, but a lot of people will retire and then you'll find out, well, I got a part-time job.
Yep.
Because they just can't, they're bored. I don't blame them. I would be bored too. I'll probably work until I die. I can't imagine not doing something.
Yeah.
Or reading or learning or understanding or.
Yeah. It's classic grass is greener.
Right.
Right. Oh, I just want to sit around and do nothing. And then once you get a taste of that, well, some people do. And then you end up putting on weight and, the back's hurting and the gut's bigger than it was. Mm-hmm. So our bodies thrive off of activity, problem solving, stimulus. Exactly. So
stimuli.
Same thing applies when you get older. If you are not working anymore, right? Or you notice that you're not involved in as much activity as you used to be when you were younger. Maybe that means you go to work, you sit at a desk all day, and you're just on that computer. I've told clients, and they don't always do it, but I'm like, listen, you have Alzheimer's in your family. You've got dementia in your family. do everything you can to protect your brain. Obviously, we start with the nutrition side first, and then I give them activities. I'm like, something simple is try for the next week brushing your teeth with the other hand, mm-hmm. right? Try reading a book on a topic that's interesting to you, but you don't know much about.
Right.
That is causing your brain to click and pop and fire and Absolutely. Make new synaptic connections. Learn a language. That's what I'm doing right now. And there's apps for everything. There's apps for brain games and all these, you know, a bunch of different things that you can do. A lot of people like crossword puzzles, you know, even though that's not, doesn't really require a lot of problem solving, but anything that you can do to stimulate your brain in new ways is important. So that is a huge part of what you can do to help keep your brain healthy as you age.
Mental fitness.
Exactly. Now, another thing, phosphatidylserine, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that is something produced by our bodies. However, most of what we need comes from food. Now, interestingly enough, the supplement used to be made from cow brain. And this is, it helps to support our nervous system, right? Neurological system. Keeps it healthy, keeps it functioning well. Now they're actually made from cabbage or soy. Now, they're not sure, based on the research, if the cabbage or soy phosphatidylserine is as effective as the one made from cow brain. I mean, they recommend that you use the one made from cow brain because that seems to be the better of the two. And taking phosphatidylserine can improve some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's, right? But it may become less effective over time. So this is a product where there's some research out there, not a ton, but it's something that I felt was important to mention because it's still something that can be effective, right? Even if you know someone who is already suffering from Alzheimer's, this is something to talk to the doctor about, right? If they're being cared for by someone,
right?
Ask some questions about it. Phosphatidylserine, you know, is this something that my mother, father, you know, grand, whoever should consider using? Because I've heard that it can help reduce some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's. So again, this is, you know, you guys got to get started on this now.
Right.
It's, you got to be proactive, not reactive.
Absolutely. And the other thing too on our list, and we've talked about this before in other podcasts, are obviously our fish oils, our omega-3s, DHA, and EPA. You know, I remember being a kid and my mom would serve us fish and I never wanted to eat it. I used to put ketchup all over it just so I could get it down. But I couldn't get off.
You did that with regular fish?
Yeah,
fish
my mom
sticks,
would
or?
Always make like cod or scrod, and like, oh God, I can't eat this. So I would put ketchup all over it. Or fish sticks weren't bad, but when she would just make like regular whitefish, it was brutal. And my dad wouldn't let me get up from the table until I ate it. So I used to sit there for a while. But, you know, fish, they would always say, my dad would be like, it's brain food, it's brain food, it's brain food. And I can remember from a little kid him making his cod liver oil and his orange juice, stirring it up and throwing it back. But omega-3s are so important to help protect your brain and your body from inflammation. So that's, you know, we've talked a lot about omega-3s and how the DHA fat in it is associated with brain development, learning, and cognition, and the EPA is more associated with mood behavior and has the anti-inflammatory effects. So you want to, and we've talked about krill oil, and we've talked about different types of fish oils and making sure you get one that's, you know, wild caught from wild caught fish, and know if there's the mercury content in it is there or not. So omega-3s definitely help with preventing Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And just doing some reading today too, when we were researching this, studies showed that low levels of the DHA are present in more in patients that present with Parkinson's. So that was an interesting point. And there was also a study that showed that elderly vegan men were deficient in DHA and EPA. Obviously, because they're not eating animal proteins, they're not eating fish, they're not getting those nutrients from those foods. So you just want to make sure that if you are a vegan, that you are getting all the nutrients that you should be getting for brain health, for gut health, because it's really, really important. And if you get a fish oil, the dose that they recommend, of course, you can always ask us too. And I think mine, if I remember the bottle that I use, but it's about 1,200 to 1,500 in the EPA and about 500 to 1,000 in the DH A. But if you have one or you're not sure, you can always email us too at thekcql21@gmail.com and ask us. And we can definitely recommend some different ones. But fish oils are just one of those great supplements that you definitely should incorporate. And you should be eating some fatty, oily fish during the week too, like salmon or mackerel, sardines, things like that, and to get those benefits. And just make sure, again, that it's wild caught. You know, it's our food supply has definitely been, you know, injured through just farming and different practices that they're using now. So you really have to be a smart consumer. If you're going to a fish market, you're probably more likely to get, you know, wild caught versus maybe if you're buying stuff in your regular grocery store that you're not really sure where it's coming from. So just be really mindful of that. You have to be a smart consumer also.
Exactly. And if you're vegetarian and you want to get omega oils, things to consider: walnuts, flaxseed, chia seeds, hemp seeds, edamame, although it doesn't have a ton, seaweed and algae. So they actually sell algae oil. I think a lot of it's green algae oil.
Yeah, I remember reading that too.
And they sell it in capsules just like your regular fish oil, and it has a good omega-3 content. So that is definitely something to consider. So, you know, to Linda's point when she mentioned that with Parkinson's, was it DHA that they were lower in,
the vegetarian men? Yeah, that low levels of DHA were present in patients with Parkinson's.
Yeah. So neurologically, Parkinson's,
which is a brain inflammation disease.
Exactly. Parkinson's is a neurological disease. And if you notice, when people get the shakes,
right,
what happens is the messages that are supposed to be sent across the dendrites are at the end, the axon. It's covered by the myelin sheath, and that sheath is made of fat. Now, when that fat starts to degenerate, the neurological messages start to spark out, and they cause jitters, right? Involuntary movement. By consuming enough omega-3, you can help improve or maintain the integrity of that myelin sheath around the nervous system. So, again, this is something... Mm-hmm. That is important all ages. And just to end on this.
Same with MS too, right? MS is the same thing. The myelin sheath wears away and the message just goes out. Doesn't get delivered.
Exactly. And parents, just because your kids are young doesn't mean I'm doing air quotes right now, can get away with crappy foods.
Yeah.
This is something I hear some of my clients say, oh, it's fine, they're kids, they'll just burn it off.
Right, they live on nuggets and hot dogs and mac and cheese.
This is the time in their lives when they're developing all these systems. They have to get the right fats, the right proteins, the right fibers in their gut to make sure their gut... Look how many people have food sensitivities these days. Oh, everyone's, I'm gluten sensitive, I'm celiacs, I'm this and that. A lot of it is because not enough variety of food when kids are young... Keeping things too clean. Kids have to get outside and play in the dirt, or they should. The kids actually develop part of their gut microbiome from being in the dirt. The dirt gets on their skin, it goes in their mouth, and that helps to grow good bacteria. When you have a kid who's slathered in a hand sanitizer, they don't get a chance to get a good gut. They are more susceptible to getting things like food sensitivities, food allergies, and so forth. So just understand that. Let them go out, roll in the dirt, play in the mud, and give them a variety of greens. My mom used to do a different color every night.
That's good.
Or a couple different colors during the week. Because she's like, a variety is good. Yeah, she's not a nutritionist, but she knew that, she was raised well enough where you should eat from the rainbow.
Right, and they didn't have a lot of processed crappy foods then anyways.
Correct.
Like, they didn't grow up with that stuff. So you have an Italian background, as do I. So we had salad every night. There was a bowl of salad on the table, and you had salad. We ate salad last.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of Italian families ate it first. We always had it at the end of the meal. Eat your meal, and then you had a big bowl of salad with everything in it. So you're getting all those great nutrients and fiber and all those vegetables. And, you know, they weren't grown in all the pesticides. It wasn't an issue if it was organic or not.
Yeah,
that wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So something to consider, guys. Make sure you take care of your gut and you are encouraging a long life.
And just to wrap up, we talked about L-glutamine, in case you don't remember all of them. L-glutamine, pre and probiotics, phosphatidylserine, citicoline, 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 and then obviously your omega-3s, your DHA mm-hmm. and your EPA fatty acids.
Exactly. And if you guys want to know some good quality brands, reach out to us, kcql21@gmail.com, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. We release a new podcast every Thursday, so make sure you tune in. To contact us, visit our websites, relentlessfitnessandnutrition.com
and lindamstevens.com. Also, visit our YouTube channel, King Christian and Queen Linda. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode.
See you next time.